Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If I bleed tonight, if I am sad tonight, I don't have a job to find. And if I work tonight, if I'm so tired tonight, I'll fall asleep when I'm home, when I'm
home. Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of the Power Slam podcast here on Patreon, one day early with no ads or on the main feed on Friday. My name is Kenny McIntosh, joined as always by Mr. Finlay Martin. Finn, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm all right, Kenny. Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, we just finished inside the latest issue of the magazine, so everybody's feeling a little bit frazzled after that to when WrestleMania was. The proximity between WrestleMania and our deadline made things very difficult for lots of people, but we got WrestleMania in this issue, and that was the main thing. And you just got back from WrestleMania today, right?
Yes, I got back about 4 hours ago. So had a nap, which has actually made things better. I managed to get a little bit of sleep on the flight home. But yeah, I'm glad to be home. Do you ever get that thing when you go away on a trip or whatever, and you're away? Because we were away for 10 days. And you get back and you go, oh, thank God I'm back in my own house. You know, I've got my own stuff around. So very happy to be back.
Oh, I'm sure the dogs missed you terribly, Kenny.
They did. They were very happy to see us back. They were giving us all the cuddles and everything. So that was nice. And
did you tell the dogs the big news?
I did tell the dogs the news.
It's starting to get a bit silly now. Let's just move on before it gets.
Well, you know, they were trying to fight over who gets to be the ring boy. So it's a whole thing. Yes, it was a very good trip and met lots of nice people. People came up to me and were very nice about everything. We got to do some interviews over the weekend with people like Rey Mysterio and AJ Styles at the press morning. And yes, but we're here to talk about loads of wrestling stuff. We're going to talk about Raw, but I do feel like we need to kick off by talking about something that is, you know, in the news. Everybody is talking about AEW, but not the way that you would think.
No, in the way that I actually think that most people thought this would play out, because most people predicted that this would not end well for AEW, and it hasn't done.
So let's add some context to what's happened. So obviously last week, CM Punk was on the MMA Hour. We covered it here on the podcast. And yeah, there was a lot of stuff that he had to say about, you know, returning to WWE, all the stuff around that, about going to AEW. And Tony Khan felt he needed to respond to this. So his response was going to be to air some of the footage from the backstage All In London altercation with CM Punk and Jack Perry as part of a storyline. And the idea would be that he spoke to Sports Illustrated and he told them that the way it would be shown would be within a storyline and would be there to promote the upcoming Dynasty pay-per-view. So people, I think, first of all, thought this is a bad idea. This is a very bad idea. But second of all, thought, well, if this is being aired, it must have something that's so explosive that it basically paints Punk out to be this absolute liar.
Exactly. It's going to refute Punk's account of events on the MMA Hour. That's what we thought.
Yes.
So there was some like new footage, some new revelations, and yes, that would put the lie to Punk's version of events. And quite the opposite happened.
Yeah. The only thing that within the video counteracted what Punk said is Punk said that he was not going to be physical to Jack Perry, and Jack Perry started it. And the video does kind of show Punk sort of physically strike first. But if you look at the interaction itself, you can see that he's being goaded by Jack Perry sort of with words. So that's how it looks, that kind of they're having this disagreement. And, you know, I was talking to somebody today about it who has wrestled in the past. And I just want to read you what this person has said. I don't think this gives away anything for anybody to what this is. But basically, the person in question said, honestly, I've been in locker rooms where so much worse has happened. Then everyone acted like adults after the fact, put it behind them and moved on. Things get settled in locker rooms. The AEW locker room is so precious, it's embarrassing. If I was Punk and I'd been disrespected like he had, I would have done the exact same thing. Because, you know, there is context to when this happened, right? There's the... Yeah. There's the all-out brawl where he was absolutely in the wrong for that press conference. Then there's the fight that we don't know what happened. We don't know the full extent of who did what to who. But we know that everybody was kind of in the wrong at various points.
Yeah, and everyone was sent home for a period of time. And then the Elite came back and then Punk came back much later. But he's obviously suffered the injury as well, hadn't he? And that, you know, delayed his return to AEW.
Yeah, so... Then, obviously, Tony Khan decides he wants to do the separate shows. Punk says that he didn't think that was going to work and he wanted to let out of his contract. I said this last week. I don't, by any stretch of the imagination, think that Punk is the easiest guy in the world to get along with or to deal with, but I don't think he's a liar in terms of flat-out making up things. And I do tend to believe that he did say, let me out of the contract, let me out of it.
Yeah, I believe that as well.
But, you know, when you get to Wembley and then the Crimea River thing happens on camera and Punk sort of says... Because you can see Punk in the video sort of look over to his right where we believe Tony Khan would have been sitting and sort of say, deal with this.
Yeah.
You can't hear him say that, but you can kind of...
There was no audio on the video, we should mention. I'm sure everyone's seen the video, but there was no audio. And lots of people actually have added online, people I'm sure will have seen this as well, Punk's description of events in a video side by side with the footage that AEW showed on Dynamite last night.
Yeah. So they show the footage and the Bucks, which by the way, Wade Keller from PW Torch, he actually had a story that came out today and he said that the Bucks did not want to do this.
Really? Wow.
They really didn't want to do this. Because if you think about it, the Bucks have actually been doing the best story stuff they have done in their career, I think. I'm not saying it's the best thing ever, but for them, they're actually playing heels. They're trying to put stories together, you know. So the last thing I'm sure they want to do is do this again or have this come up. You know, they're trying to move on from it, whether we agree with how they behaved at the time or not, or we're on their side of it or not. But I think even they must have known what good is going to come of this.
Can I just stop you there for a second, Kenny? Mm-hmm. We know that the Young Bucks did not want to work with Punk after the 2022 episode and didn't even have a meeting with him, as far as we know. Right? We know Punk wanted to meet with them and try and thrash it out. We talked about this. Everyone's talked about this. So the Young Bucks said, no, we're not meeting with Punk and we're not working with him either. Right? Now, if they were that hell-bent on not doing this, why didn't they... You know, why weren't they as firm with Tony Khan when it came to this as they were when it came to working with Punk? I mean, they went along with it anyway, didn't they?
Well, I think the answer is pretty simple, right? Which is that they probably knew that when this aired, what was going to happen? Is people were, you know, Punk was the number one trend last night, and in the arena, people were chanting CM Punk and cheering him. Like, because the thing is, if you like CM Punk or you believe his side of the story or whatever, nothing that they showed is going to change your mind. And if you're somebody who's in the middle, you're probably going to go, "Is that it? Is that all?" I'm not condoning violence, but again, it's like the person who I know who has wrestled said, it's like locker rooms are the sort of place where if something happens, you sit down, you thrash it out. You apologize to each other, you go, "Right, let's make some money from this." And so the storyline idea here is that the Bucks were on Dynamite last night backstage, and they sort of tease playing the footage, and the context was that Nicholas said they were about to face FTR at Wembley Stadium All In, the biggest match of their career, and there was an incident right before the match. Jack Perry was the scapegoat in the situation.
Even though Punk was then fired, right?
Punk was then fired, and Jack Perry was suspended, I assume with pay. Like, the guy wasn't going to be sitting for the last 9 months making no money. And then, Matthew said, "If you've got a problem with Perry, chances are you are the problem." And then, they said other people tried to intervene. Or, sorry, no, Nicholas said, one individual tried to make the Wembley show all about himself. And the other individual was friends with FTR, and were FTR behind it. And that, they wanted to, they didn't have any time to hydrate or even pray. And basically, the gist of it is that
They were so
FTR.
distracted by the Perry versus Punk incident that they went out and lost the match. And
Yes.
they said, the Bucks said, well, the winner of this match, was then going to be the greatest tag team in the world. Well, no, maybe in your minds and the minds of your hangers-on, Young Bucks. But no one I know thinks you're the greatest tag team in the world. So, Young Bucks were there basically saying that this put them off, and that was the reason they lost. Because this is all leading, of course, to the match at Dynasty, isn't it? Final
Yes.
tag team tournament between FTR and the Young Bucks. That's what it's leading to. So, they managed to. I mean, to me, this footage doesn't really seem to have any connection with this story that they've come up with. But I guess you've got to. I guess they tried to sort of extend this footage into their, weave this footage into the story of their upcoming match. But it was desperate stuff, this. It really was. I mean, why did they even show it, Kenny?
I know. I think I remember seeing something last week about how when they showed the when Vince did the Brett screwed Brett stuff, which is obviously a totally different scenario, but when they inserted the real life Brett stuff into the storyline, it ended up being this amazing thing for the company because Vince became the top heel. But this is like, we landed on the plane this morning at like 6:30 in the morning, so Dynamite would have been off there for 2.5 hours, so we hadn't seen the show yet or seen this segment. So we went on Twitter, and there was nothing. If I, because I typed in CM Punk AEW and scrolled through A to see the video and see what it was like, and I scrolled through for a good 5 minutes, and I couldn't in one of those tweets tell you what the storyline was with FTR in the Bucks, what the Bucks said. Nobody was talking about that. Everybody was just talking about the footage, what you think of the footage, if you think that Punk was right, if you think Punk was wrong. And I just think it kind of has brought all this up again, when I just can't quite understand what Tony Khan thought the outcome of this was going to be, because I don't think it made him look, I don't think it made Punk look any worse. I don't think it made people go, "Oh, he was just lying on that podcast."
Well, he wasn't because the footage corroborated his story.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So, why? I just don't get it.
Epic fail. Just an epic fail. And you're watching the footage, right? And, like, Jack Perry comes backstage. And, like, no one there anticipated Punk's reaction. Why not? There was people everywhere. Of course Punk was going to be angry. Of course he was going to make a beeline for Jack Perry when he came through the curtain after making that statement directly into the camera that was obviously aimed at Punk and was designed to antagonize him. And it did. But why the hell didn't someone deal with it? And you look at it and you just think, this company is everything that CM Punk said it was and said it is in his MMA Hour interview. I mean, it's just a clown show, Kenny. And the fact that this was even broadcast and then they tried to use it to promote FTR versus Young Bucks at the Dynasty pay-per-view, as you said, no one was talking about that match. No one was talking about that fictional element to this real footage, because who cares? You know, there's such a tenuous link there.
Yeah,
just talking about this juicy footage, which, as I said, corroborated Punk's account of events as described on the MMA Hour. I mean, Tony Khan, he just needs to step down for the good of AEW. He just needs to go. You know, he needs to just fire himself. You know, just, that's the only way out of this. That is the only way that he can. I mean, obviously, he's not going to leave with any dignity, and he's obviously not going to do this anyway, because we know that this is his, you know, this is his little hobby, AEW. But it's just, to me, it's like you need to just, especially if it's correct that the Young Bucks didn't want to go along with this, they should have, in the interest of self-preservation, Kenny, they should have said to Tony, "We're not doing it. Fire us. We don't care."
Yeah, because, did this make people want to see FTR and the Young Bucks more? I don't think so. And then you get FTR who have to come out straight after it and do the promo to kind of, you know, try and make it make
sense. Sell this thing. They're trying to sell this thing to an audience that's just bewildered.
And then also, they show this footage, and again, I've skimmed through the whole thing, so maybe I've missed a bit, but at no point does the name CM Punk ever get used by anybody.
No.
Yet they're showing footage of him. And he's like the fifth character in this story, but you can't talk about him.
It's like, is CM Punk going to do a run-in at Dynasty? Maybe he's going to help FTR beat the Young Bucks. No, of course he's not, because he's under contract to WWE. But that is really the only way that this would make sense, is if it were to set up CM Punk's comeback. Then I could see a reason to use the footage. But as it is, and as that's impossible, it's nonsensical.
It's crazy. It's just, you know, and then you've got, because the thing is, it's just, you know, WWE just came off this massive weekend where they've done really good business. Again, I think I'm trying to be fair here. I understand why to Tony Khan it's a bit like, you know, I paid Punk all this money and, you know, I let him out of the deal and he's still sort of knocking us, right, with the MMA appearance. But at the same time, what you're doing to combat that is not productive for your company. It's not making your company look any better. And everybody, when this came out on, I can't remember when it was that it was kind of announced that this footage was going to get shown, maybe Monday or something, everybody online, AEW fans, non-AEW fans, reporters, journalists, everybody, nobody said this was a good idea. Not one. And, you know, when do you get universal agreement on something on the internet? And you had it about this. So,
yeah, I mean, I was racking my brains trying to work out if there was a silver lining to this. And I couldn't conceive that there would be one. And there isn't.
No.
You know, all I can say is Tony Khan, obviously he's going to stay. Obviously he's not going to fire himself as booker and president and master strategist of AEW. Right? He should, to me, he should just step down. He should just go away. He should ring up Scott D'Amore today and say, Scott, I need your help. I need some time off. I need to, go to the French Riviera or whatever. I need to go somewhere. I just need a holiday. And then in all seriousness, Kenny must be exhausted. They're putting out so much product. The pressure's obviously getting to him. I understand that. And maybe he just needs a little bit of time off, to just recharge the batteries. In all seriousness, I'm thinking of Tony Khan here. But anyway, that's not going to
The other
happen.
thing is that he, as the owner of the company and all that kind of stuff, he's someone who obviously is very passionate about AEW and about his product and all that. But then, on one hand, you've got him on Twitter where he's this like renegade tweeter who just like says whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
Then, if he's in any media interview, he's the polar opposite, where he always thanks you for a great question and doesn't offer a comment on anything.
Yeah.
Or you ask him a question, he's going to spend 25 minutes answering why it's going to be great for this coming Wednesday on TBS or whatever. So he needs to, I think, he also needs to get somebody else to just press for him, because at this point, it's like, I remember when Tony Khan started doing interviews at the beginning of AEW, and he used to do really well on like YouTube and stuff for people, and now he does terribly. Like, if you get 60 minutes with Tony Khan, you're probably not going to even get 10,000 hits on YouTube. Whereas before, you would have got 100,000.
Yeah.
He used to say stuff, but now he doesn't. So,
Well, that was before he had a track record, wasn't it?
yeah.
And it's like being an opposition party politician. Everyone thinks, brilliant, you've got all the answers. Right, you're in government now. Let's show us what you've got. Oh, it's really difficult, isn't it? And once they've been in for a while and they don't have the magic cure to everything, people then start knocking them and saying, well, look at your track record. You haven't done all the things you said you were going to do. I mean, this is what I would just like to say to Tony Khan, or rather, this is my advice to Tony Khan. And this is actually a really nice statement. I realize I'm not the guy, but he deserves to be knocked because what they did on Dynamite last night was completely absurd. It was stupid. It was dumb. It was counterproductive. It was everything that we feared it would be and more. This is what Tony Khan should do. He should concentrate. He should devote all of his efforts, do everything he can to make AEW as good as it can be. Instead of concentrating on the opposition or taking shots or, trying to settle scores, he should have tunnel vision. It should be his objective, his mission, right, to make AEW better. And if he does that, his fans will thank him for it.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to do something because, he's at the moment, he's got Adam Copeland as the TNT champion. He's got Will Ospreay, who's been doing really well. Like, he's got a lot of stuff going on, and he should be focusing his efforts on that, And I
Well, Will
think,
Ospreay's promo last night wasn't exactly a triumph, was it? Let's be honest.
well, I've not seen that yet, but I think on the mic so far, I mean, I've not seen last night yet, but I think he's over delivered from what I thought he was gonna, and I think he's been doing pretty well. But the point is, like, even with the Bucks, it's like if you're putting all this time and effort into them as characters and they're doing something different, you just again pigeonhole them back in with Punk again. Like, they were getting, more praise than usual for, their performance against Sting and Darby Allin at Revolution. Things were moving on, and now you've just, in case you don't remember, they're part of the reason that Punk's gone.
Yeah.
You've just brought it right back into consciousness, and it's a bad move.
Yeah, they should have just ignored what Punk said. It would have been a story for a week, 2 weeks, just moved on, ignored it, taken the high road, concentrate on your product and the people that are under contract to you and that are available for use on your television programs and pay-per-views. And just put everything into making AEW better. When I was doing Power Slam, there's a few people, other magazines, tried to sucker me into, ridiculous feuds. I wasn't interested. All I was interested in was making Power Slam as good as it could be. That was what I had tunnel vision for every month. Some issues were better than others, and that's just the way it went. But that was always my goal each month. It's all about the magazine, the characters, the talent, you know, the stories, not about, you know, slights to other writers or settling petty scores. I don't really see where that gets you.
Let's move on. We're going to be covering Raw the night after WrestleMania on the Powerslam Overrun this week, which will be out tomorrow, Friday, on Patreon. But for the rest of this podcast, let's go through the WWE Hall of Fame that took place this past Friday night.
Friday.
And they opened with Paul Heyman, which I know you've written a little bit about this in the upcoming edition of the magazine, but he opened it. Talk me through your thoughts on his speech.
Yeah, it was, I mean, Roman Reigns inducted him, described Heyman as the greatest communicator of all time. Now, I wouldn't go that far, but maybe the greatest of all time in pro wrestling, but not of all time in the world. You know? Maybe that's what Reigns was referring to. And he just said, you know, if it wasn't for this guy, Heyman, you know, there would be no tribal chief and there will be no tribal chief. So, you know, I thought that was quite interesting. And Reigns actually seemed really quite humble, didn't he? He was very much out of character in that, you know, when he inducted Heyman. And you can see that he is, because when they're out there, you know, Reigns is there. He's got this amazing aura as the character. But here at the Hall of Fame ceremony, it wasn't Roman Reigns. It was the man behind the character. He was very much in awe of Paul Heyman's talents, which were all on display here as, you know, he did this speech. Quite a bit of profanity in it, wasn't there, Kenny? It was quite a lot of swearing.
Yes, there were, yes.
Yeah, there was quite a lot of swearing.
It was not a PG speech.
Exactly. And he was putting over Stephanie and Triple H, you know, and just said, you know, I'll always be a Paul Levesque guy. And, you know, what else? Just, you know, saying to his kids, son and his daughter, I'm not sure how old they are. They're both, I guess, late teens. And they were, you're just saying, you'll follow your dreams. And they seem really quite moved by it. And he was just talking about how WWE under Paul Levesque has, you know, turned the page and moved on. And creatively, so much more flexible than it ever was under the guy whose name we cannot mention.
He actually did a great job. He did a great job of burying Vince McMahon without saying his name. Putting over
it was fantastic, wasn't it? It just was fantastic. And this whole weekend really was all about moving on, wasn't it? And like, good for them. They've done it. And, you know, Vince, it's just incredible, isn't it? That, you know, this was Vince's life's work. He owned the company from 1982 until, well, last year, right? 41 years. And, and now he's just like, it's as if he was never there. It's just the weirdest thing, isn't it? I mean, it's almost like I can almost hardly believe how quickly they've moved on from Vince. I mean, it was only just before Royal Rumble that the Janelle Grant thing broke, wasn't it? That's only, what's that, less than 3 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Incredible, isn't it? So, yeah, I mean, I thought Heyman was great just talking about his career, and now they tried to cancel him and he always came back. And, you know, then he put on his, you know, ECW headset and hat and, you know, big leather trench coat and talked about ECW and, you know, some in-character stuff there. And it was, yeah, it was an incredible speech. You know, he was just on fire out there, wasn't he? And, you know, his peers were just, you could see that everyone was just in awe. You see that everyone who was watching that, as in Randy Orton, CM Punk, Triple H, Paul Levesque, Solo Sikoa, all of them, they knew that they were seeing the master at work and that, you know, it was their job to watch and learn, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a great clip online. You can't really see it in the broadcast, but basically, and I think it's when he's talking about being cancelled and if people want to cancel him, he said, you know, you can suck my fucking dick, was the line that he said. And there's like a sort of fan cam version of it where Randy Orton is just corpsing in the corner. You know, he's literally out of his seat cackling at Heyman and how he is and Grayson Waller and all these different people. So you get that element of it. And then you get him saying he wishes his mum and dad were there. Then he turns to Cody Rhodes and said, I wish that your dad was here.
Yeah.
So he really did set the tone to do a little bit of everything in the speech. And it did kind of make you think, how the hell can you follow this?
Yeah.
So he goes first, and then Bill Nakano was next, and you know, you were quite taken with how she was able to kind of come out here afterwards in English and sort of, you know, put her points across.
Yeah, I mean, I thought she did well. I mean, it was very humble, and she was talking about how difficult it was when she worked for WWF in 94, 95, which it would have been, because, you know, she didn't know English or knew very little English at that point. And I think she did express her thanks to Luna Vachon, didn't she? Obviously, Luna's not with us anymore, but Luna, I think, was very helpful. And that must have been very, even though she'd been a huge star for years in All Japan Women, you know, here she was in WWF. It was a different country, a different system, and in many ways, completely different world. And it must have been a real culture shock for her, going from, you know, being a huge star in Japan and having people doing things for her to then having to, you know, sort out rental cars when she can't speak the lingo and hotels and all the other stuff. And yeah, I mean, I thought she came across really humble and really gracious. And I think the honour did mean a lot to her. It's funny, it's strange seeing her when her so thin, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when we did that interview with her in Powerslam in 2011, I think it was. It wasn't really a very good interview, to be honest. And she ended up doing like a little comeback or became the character again. And in order to do that, she just said, I just had to pig out to become Bull Decano again. So it was like, you know, because she was, you know, really hefty, wasn't she? That was the character.
Yep, that was her gimmick.
So yeah, very different. I mean, you know, Medusa, you know, of course, inducted her, which I think we all figured she would, because, you know, they wrestled in 94, 95. So I thought she did well. I mean, it was, you know, a very tough spot she was in.
Well, we then had Muhammad Ali going in. Obviously, he was the celebrity inductee for the year. He ended up being inducted by The Undertaker, who came out and did it.
Yeah. I mean, what was going on with The Undertaker's hair, Kenny? Come on. You know, you're the man when it comes to hairstyles. I don't know any bloke who spends more time on his hair than you. You know, what did you make of The Undertaker's hair?
I think he's clinging on to what he's got, and he's trying to, you know, do everything he can to make sure it still looks good. But the thing is, I still don't understand why in 2011, 2012, he decided to shave his head if he was then going to grow it all back in again. And, you know, like, when you shave your head so many times, or you do all these different things, your hairline and your hair in general is going to suffer. And, you know, we're now 12 years on, and he's fighting. It's the biggest fight of his career, is fighting with his hair. And we're getting to see it every year. No wonder he had a hat on when he was doing his choke slam in night 2. But he inducts Ali, and then Muhammad Ali's wife, Lonnie, is out there to accept the induction. And she even ends up brings it The Rock and gives him a People's Championship.
Yeah, that was quite something. A really beautiful belt, wasn't it? Kind of reminded me a little bit of the belt Bruno had. Bruno's,
yes,
I think, first belt.
And now Rock is using it. He used it at WrestleMania, used it on Raw, so it seems to be there. What did you make of this induction?
Yeah, I mean, it was really funny. Undertaker came out and he said there's a Muhammad Ali, famous Muhammad Ali phrase that he used. Was it in the Foreman fight or one of the famous fights anyway? And he said, "I've always wanted to say that." It's so funny seeing the Undertaker, like, a, you know, behaving like a fanboy. So that stuff like that always amuses me. And you can see he was having a lot of fun. And I thought, you know, Muhammad Ali's widow, I thought she did really well. And she, you know, really complimented The Rock, said that The Rock had asked Ali if he could refer to himself as the People's Champion, which I didn't know that story. Probably should have known that story, but I didn't know that story. And then Rock came out, and you could see he was really quite moved by it, because anything related to Ali, it's like, as big a star as you might be, you're never going to be as big as he was. So, yeah, you know, there's like, he is on a pedestal by himself, isn't he? So everyone's sort of, you know, in awe of someone. They just, you know, they just are. And I enjoyed that. That was fun.
Then we had the US Express going in, which was Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda. They go in as well, who are the penultimate inductees. They end up going in. Who inducted them again?
Was it Bo Dallas?
Bo Dallas and his sister, Mika Rotunda.
So yeah.
They put them in. And
I mean, Barry Windham's doing all right, considering he was pretty close to death this time last year, wasn't he?
Yeah. And you could tell this meant a lot to them. I mean, you know, it meant a lot to them. Windham's a two-time Hall of Famer now, which is, you know, it is weird when you think about somebody like Windham or somebody like Sean Waltman, who are two-time Hall of Famers. But, you know, it is what it is. But I thought you could tell how much it meant to them, and that was nice.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Bray was going in this year. But I imagine that'll be next year. Maybe they felt like, you know, with Heyman and Akano and Muhammad Ali, that they'd leave that until next year. So, because there's obviously just a big documentary, aren't there, on Bray Wyatt. Just been, is that out yet? Is that available yet?
It's out in the US, but we're going to have to find other means of watching it for ourselves.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it meant a lot to them. It was a very emotional occasion. You know, the fact that this was the first WrestleMania that Wyndham Rotunda, you know, after Wyndham Rotunda had sadly passed away, you could see it was a very emotional occasion for them all, for the family. Yeah. So, you know, I think it was very nice that they did this. You know, I'm not necessarily a huge fan of the US Express. I don't think as far as teams go, I don't really feel like they're Hall of Fame worthy, but I understand why they did this. And it was, you know, a very nice thing that the company did, a really kind of a heartwarming thing, you know, for people that they obviously respect and rate highly. And, you know, you've got to say it was the right thing to do, Kenny. It was, you know, it was the company doing the right thing for a family that's still grieving, I'm sure.
Yeah. And then the final one was Thunderbolt Patterson, who was the... Oh, no, he's the penultimate, sorry, because Liam Ivey was the last one. Thunderbolt Patterson, what did you make of his speech, which heavily involved God?
Well, New Day were out there, and, he had someone doing a lot of the talking for him, didn't he? I mean, you know, T-Bolt's getting on a bit. You know, he's obviously, you know... I don't really have a whole lot of comments to make about it, Kenny, to be honest with you. I mean, hopefully it meant a lot to him. It's nice to be recognised by your peers. And, you know, this guy had a rough time in the wrestling business, particularly in the South, you know, where his career was mostly based in the 60s and 70s. So, you know, I hope this meant a lot to him. And, you know, I think for what he did, he was a trailblazer in many ways. You know, I think he did deserve this honor.
And then we had Liam Ivey as the final one. So obviously The Rock came out to do the introduction, and it's he's kind of there to take the mantle for his gran. I mean, this is a nepotism entry, of course, yeah. But I don't think the crowd really cared. I think live, from what I've heard, they didn't really do a good enough job of explaining that The Rock would be there for people in the arena, because obviously SmackDown aired first, and
yeah,
then Heyman was first in the Hall of Fame, but they didn't really live sort of hammer home enough that The Rock's coming out, stay, because he didn't really get online until he didn't really get on stage until about midnight.
And yeah, it'd been a long day, a long night for everyone, and obviously there was a lot going on Saturday and Sunday and Monday, so people were thinking, phew. You know, let's head home and, you know, get some shut eye. So, and many of them missed The Rock, right? Because they were leaving or had left.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, look, that was the Hall of Fame. If you've not seen it, it's definitely worth seeing Heyman's speech. You know, go out your way to see that, because it really
is absolutely incredible. And, you know, if you're a fan of Bull Nakano, as I was and still am, you know, her speech is worth listening to as well.
Well, listen, that's all the time we've got for today. Thanks for all your support, as always. We'll be back with the Person I'm Over on. We talk about The Raw after Mania. Well, that'll be up tomorrow/today, Friday. It'll be up on Friday. So thanks for all your support, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. If I